My name is Casey Lynn Crook. I am 17 years old. I am half-baked, and I'm loving it. I remember my first few days here at UCA, and I was so excited. I was so excited, and I was so incredibly afraid because there were so many people and so many new experiences to be had here. And I remember more than anything all of the oodles of people around me. And I thought to myself, how in the world am I supposed to get to know these people? And so handshake came, and I was so afraid, and I remember all the weird things. I remember thinking to myself, wow, why are you holding my hand for so long? I remember thinking, oh man, I wouldn't mind getting to know him longer. Or, what's my name again? I've said it so many times. But the one thing I remember most about handshake was thinking to myself, how am I going to get to know any of these people, let alone just remember their names? And so I just drifted along the first few days, and as soon as classes got out, I went to my room because I am a shy person, really. And when anyone would talk to me, I would just give them this strange look. I'd just sit there and I'd be like, when they talked to me, I didn't know what to do. But then something happened, something that gave me the answer. One day I was walking to class and I saw posted up on the wall, it said volleyball tryouts. And I was so excited because I love volleyball. And so I went to volleyball, and after a few weeks, we had our team. And I found the key there. It's really silly, simply, but the key was that I had to talk. All I had to do was talk to these people, and I had a friend. I had friends all around me. And soon I discovered that Alicia Paulson, she was no longer that crazy chick that made the weirdest sound effects with every single move that she made. She was Alicia Paulson. I knew her. Perla was no longer that girl that sang the same five songs over and over and over and over. She was Perla. I knew her, and she knew me. The silly answer, I just had to talk. I had to know them, and then we would have that relationship. They knew me. They knew that sometimes I seriously look and sound like a stoner. They knew that I hate pickles. They knew that I love tennis, and they knew that WSU is way better than any other sports team out there, especially UW and Gonzaga, especially. They knew me. And as the year drove on and work started piling on top of me, and I had schoolwork and friends and going back and forth to home and not knowing where my home is at and all this stuff and getting enough sleep, and it became too much, and I had all these new friends. But then I noticed something was happening because of this. All of a sudden, these friends that I'd built these relationships with, it was starting to dwindle away with some of them because I didn't have the time. I was holding on to those memories that we'd made in the past. I remember their character from, you know, being with them all the time. But that's what I held on to. I didn't know who they were now. I had no idea. Our friendship was hot and cold. But then I think about that, and I think about what happened, and I realized that what I did, that is who I am now. I am that in my walk with God. And there's a story that John, or it's not a story, he's actually writing a letter in Revelation to a church. And the more that I read it over and over and over, I realize that is me. I am that church. And it says, I know the things that you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. And I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have everything I want. I do not need a thing. And you don't realize that that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I am lukewarm. More than anything that I struggle with in my walk with God, I struggle with being lukewarm. I'm not committed. And you might say, Casey, you are standing up here. You are talking to us about God. There is no way that you can be lukewarm. You have to be close with him. No, Casey, you're crazy. Never. But I am lukewarm, guys. But I want to take a step back into something different, and I want to see a transformation in the crowd. Every single one of you in here, I want you to turn into Casey clones. You guys are now girls. All you guys have brown hair now, and you guys are about 5'8". You guys are me. All of you, be me. And last year for Christmas, more than anything in the world, you wanted an easy bake oven. Yes, you wanted an easy bake oven. And guess what, guys? You guys just got one. And so you come back to school and you have your easy bake oven and you are so excited and you see your friends and you're like, I haven't seen you forever. I'm so excited to see you. And look at my easy bake oven. It is here in my room and I am going to bake me some cake. And it is going to be in my belly very soon. And so you're screaming and you're all excited. And all your friends, you know how it goes. Oh, we should have an easy bake party. We should. And the day comes and you make your cake. And your friends get together. And you spend so much time stirring the cake just perfectly so you can get it right. And you pour it into the little tins that you grease just right. And you slip it inside the easy bake oven. And you're going to wait for 12 minutes exactly because you are not going to mess up on this cake. You have waited for this forever. And you pull out your cake and you're so excited. And you get it out and you see something nasty. It's all crumbly on the outside, but it's gooey on the inside. And there's no way that you're going to eat that. So you slip it back in for, you know, maybe it's not right. Maybe I just need to cook it a little bit longer. So you put it back in there and you wait. And you wait. And then you pull it out. And it's even more disgusting. You would never eat that. But you just try it just in case and it sticks in your mouth. And you want to spit it out as soon as it gets in there. And you're so stumped. I was stumped because I've been waiting forever. This cake was supposed to be perfect. I wanted this easy bake oven and I got it and I made my cake and now it's not right. And so you search and I searched and with my highly mechanical skills, I found the problem. You see, my problem the whole time was the light bulb. This light bulb, the thing that was supposed to power and make my cake perfect, it wasn't the right amount of energy. It was only half of what I needed. And so instead of having that perfect thing that you wanted, instead you got a mess, and you want nothing of that. It would have been better if it was just raw. You know, I'm down with eating some raw dough every once in a while, but nothing that's like this. But you see, I am that half-baked cake. I am that mess. I am half-baked. No, I don't need to get rid of the stuff in my life that's behind the scenes that people don't see that I know is wrong. I don't need to put that away. You know, I can keep that and still have a relationship with God and it'll be good. I don't need to, you know, give him enough of my time. I can just spend 5 minutes as I'm falling asleep and I'm half awake, you know, just mumbling about the things that I want. And then it'll be perfect because he says if we spend a little bit of time with him, that it'll be perfect, apparently. But it's not just fine. And all of a sudden, I'm stumbling and I'm falling and I don't know why I'm here. I'm trying to grab out to him, but I don't feel him. And I say, why did you let me get here? You promised that it would be okay. And I'm broken and I'm fake and I'm half-hearted and I'm not fully committed. I'm just half-baked. Romans 7:14-15 says, the trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what is wrong. I want to do what is right, but instead, I do what is wrong. But why am I here? Why am I in this spot? Why are you guys in this spot? Because I know I am not the only one here. For some of you guys, it might be that you filled your life in with so many little things, trying to fill in this black hole that you've had from not having God there. And all of a sudden, you don't have time for anything, let alone time with God. And all of a sudden, that little hole turns into a gaping hole. Or maybe for some of you guys have experienced people in your life that are like me, those half-baked people, and they look like they have it. They look like they know, they say they know. And you trust them, and you say, I want what you have. And then all of a sudden, they hurt you or they lie to you. And you say, why did you hurt me? You pushed me down. Why am I here? Why did you do this to me? And you say, I want nothing to do with that. There's no way I'm going to be a part of that. But no matter my reason and no matter your reason, we are still stuck here in this spot and we can't get out. And so I struggled for weeks trying to figure out, what is my answer? How am I going to get out of here, let alone tell you? And I was searching and searching and I couldn't figure it out. And I said, what am I going to do? And I began to look through this. You see, this is my prayer journal. And I write in it as often as I can. And I found my answer in something I wrote in one of my highest yet lowest moments. And it says, Pastor Fred said that we were at the throne of God. And I felt as if I would do anything to cling to that. But ironically, it made me so scared to try to hold on. What is it that has filled my hands so that I cannot grip on tightly? I'm in this stretching dark room and I hear you, or I think I do on the other side, but to take the step into the unknown darkness feels like too much work, too much risk, too much letting go of things I need to let go. But miraculously, you give me a break. Maybe prayer and your word and giving time are the flashlight for my journey. The light in my progress will only be as strong as I give it the fuel to be. It must be a leap I have to take, a step into the unknown. Maybe prayer and your word and giving time are the flashlight for my journey. I cannot give God my third or my seventh or my tenth priority and expect it to be right. It has to be number one. I have to give it my all. No more being half-baked and undesirable and unwanted and spitted out by God. No more relationships like I'd had with my friends where I expect, you know, just a little bit of time and it'll be there. I cannot do that anymore. I'm standing here and it sounds like I've got it. No, I don't have it, but I have the key. That flashlight for my journey is the light bulb for my baking. Philippians 13:3 says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. I do not want to be here and be undesirable any longer. Instead, I'm starting from new. And I'm using this light bulb, the right amount of power, not just half of it, to forget the mistakes that I've made in the past. And instead, I'm looking towards the future. I may only be starting to cook, but in God, I am going to be fully baked.